What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online when the game starts.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Show your coach Phil Montelli Jr. Bryant Bulldogs 10-9 right now, 5-2 in America East. Phil, good to talk to you again. How you doing, man?
Everything's good. You know, just you know how it is this time of year. You get into your rhythm. You're playing in our conference. You play Thursday, Saturday. So, you know, just trying to gear back up for a tough one on Thursday.
I hear that. Let me ask you, Phil. Like, you know, you guys had a nice little break between Christmas there, man, with a few days off there. About how that really helped reset your team's focus, getting ready for this America East run you've been on so far, four of those so far in conference play.
Yeah, I mean, we were banged up a little bit through December. A couple of our key guys were out for a couple games. So, you know, being able to get back healthy and then kind of gear yourself up, you know, in conferences like ours, you're playing January and February, you know, to try and get for seeding for March, you know, and then in March, it's, you got to go win three games to get in the tournament. So, you know, this is really the non-conference is good. It kind of gears you up, but the conference for us is where it really, you know, really matters. So yeah, it was good. It was good to kind of recharge a little bit, get our bodies back healthy, get our minds back healthy. And, you know, have started off strong here in conference play.
You kind of use that time to kind of also self-scout too, so you don't get kind of bought down certain tendencies, so you don't get predictable per se. You know how teams scout and their energy and know what that is they use so to scout you. So how much do y'all self-scout during that time off to kind of make sure you or refocus on certain things you want to get better at this second half of the season?
Yeah, no doubt. It's funny because the season started – and November 4th, and then we hadn't had more than 2 days of practice between games until it was like right before Christmas. You know, so you go like 6 weeks where you're just really game prep, you know, because 2 days before we really try to focus on the opponent, and you know, those two practices are really geared towards game plan and what we're doing. So we're always self-scouting. We're always kind of looking at, you know, rewatching the games and figuring out, okay, what What did they do, you know, that worked against us? What are things that we took advantage of? You know, so we're always doing that, but you finally have some time to really implement it and put some things in and say, okay, you know, let's work on this combination together and see what these guys look like together. Because in the course of the game, in the course of the game prep, you're not doing that. So, you know, yeah, that's been huge for us too, having some stretches where we could just have some practices that were just about us and not about who we play next.
And Phil, also, you know, I'm curious to ask you this question as well off that. You all played Thursday, Saturdays in your league. So how do you go about trying to prep for that Saturday opponent? Because I know Thursday is your focus, of course, but you got a quick turn on that Saturday opponent. How do you kind of work things in practice, those Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, to kind of get ready for that Saturday opponent? Or you kind of just wait till Friday, do a walkthrough or something, just kind of get them prepared for that the team on Saturday you're going to play?
Yeah, we wait till Friday. Like, I won't even talk about who we play Saturday. I won't even talk to the coach that has the scout. I won't even ask him, like, hey, is there anything, you know, we'll focus on that on Friday. So, you know, for us, like, if you start the Saturday before, we play Saturday. Sunday's usually an off day. You know, they'll have treatments and things like that, but nothing basketball-wise. I'll start my film prep sometime on Sunday, starting to watch Thursday's opponent. Mondays are usually about us, but more, you know, lighter, like skill days. Maybe we'll do a little bit of live, but nothing really up and down, kind of keep it more half court, you know, but a lot of skill, with the thought of like, hey, this is something that we need to work on. Hey, our finishing wasn't great, or hey, you know, we got doubled. So we'll do that stuff out of our skill. And then, you know, Tuesday we'll start. Tuesday we'll watch our Thursday opponent. We'll watch personnel. We'll watch style of play. We'll get on the court. We'll do our first real game prep for that opponent. Wednesday we'll do personnel and continue with our game prep. And we'll do personnel film after practice again. And then, you know, Thursday we do our shoot around and we play Thursday. And then as soon as the game's over on Thursday, you know, I'll turn to whoever's got the scout and say, okay, where's the folder? Give me the quick rundown. Who are they? What do they do? you know, and then I'll start Thursday night pretty much through the night watching as much as I can to be ready for, you know, Friday's practice. You know, and that's more heavy film session. We'll recap the game before. You know, we'll recap Thursday night's game, things we did well, things we didn't do well. And then we'll watch, we'll watch Saturday's opponent and we'll get on the floor. And, you know, we've done a little bit of live on these in-between days. You know, but again, kind of more half court, like we're going to guard their actions. We're going to run some stuff in the half court that we need to do, you know, and then get them out of there and hopefully have them fresh for Saturday. And then depending on Saturday's game time, we'll do a shoot around Saturday morning where we can shoot and kind of walk through their stuff again, you know, to really give them a grasp on what it is that the other team's doing and what we're trying to do against them.
And you know what, Phil, what's great about it, man? You're trying to keep your guys healthy mentally and fresh mentally. Cause I know back when we played, it wasn't like that. It was good. I appreciate the fact that you really care about that. Cause I remember what I had to go through on a Thursday, Saturday night. So I remember that. It wasn't like how you're doing, hey, man.
You know, the thing that rings in my ears all the time is the best ability is availability.
Yes,
and,
sir.
You know, I think I heard that. I heard that on Hard Knocks somewhere, you know, years ago. And I was like, man, that is like, yes, like, and ever since then, I keep thinking, especially this time of year. I mean, we went through it in December with some injuries, and I keep thinking that. I got a handful of guys that play a lot of minutes, and I want them out there. You know, it's most important that they're out there on Thursday and most important that they're out there on Saturday, you know, and to run around and do, hey, we're going to do three-hour practice today and have somebody, no, we need them Thursday night at 6 or 7 o'clock, whatever time we play. And then I need them Saturday at, you know, whatever time, 2 or 4, we usually play. So that's the most important thing. That man, availability is the best ability. So.
You got that right, man. Man, your non-conference schedule, man, is very competitive, man. A lot of tough, different opponents. Play a lot of close games. And you know, you and I both know this, man. You can't really simulate that in practice. And getting to be in situations, put them on tape, you can actually go back and coach these situations and these scenarios. So how good was it to get close games early? Because as you know, we're trying to go to February into March. It's going to be tighter games where every play matters, every blockout matters. How cool is it to get that experience early so you can coach to it later and then and now?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. It's why we did what we did in non-conference. It's why we went the places we went and played the teams we played and played quick turnaround so that we could practice for the Thursday, Saturdays in conference play. We did some 2 and 3 days and some 3 and 4 days even, to prep for that, to see how our bodies would respond. So, and we've talked about it all the way through. I've been saying to a lot of people up here, like, our non-conference schedule is really tough, and people didn't know it. Because there weren't necessarily marquee names. It wasn't Alabama and Auburn and whoever. Like, it was, St. John's, who's a top 15 team in the country according to a lot of the metrics. St. Bonaventure, who's a top 50 or top 70 team. Grand Canyon, who's a top 75 team. Like, and then really good teams at our level. Tennessee Chattanooga and Brown and Delaware and Drexel and Towson. Like, we were playing. Every time I flipped on the tape, I'm like, man, this team's good too. Like, when are we playing the bad teams? And then to go through it and have five games decided by, I think it was 4 points or less, so two possessions or less, five of those games decided that way. I knew that was going to have us battle tested, and it was tough. There was a couple games. Fordham, they have a kid make a shot that hasn't, barely made shots all year. We have a kid he hits a three, and then we get a wide open look from a kid that, can really shoot it and goes in and out, and you lose the game. And we talked about it all the way through. It was like, whatever happened in those games was not going to dictate, what wasn't going to change, like, the way we go about our business. Like, okay, so you make that shot and win the game, and all of a sudden you run off the court and you're celebrating and you think you're the greatest team ever. No, we're not the greatest team ever. We have things we need to work on. And credit to our guys. Like, they showed up every day with that mentality, with that mindset that, what's next? Like, give us the next thing and let's go. And their belief has stayed, their work ethic has stayed, their camaraderie and connection has stayed. And I knew at some point in time that would flip, and it has, early in conference play, starting off 4-0.
And Phil, how important was it, man, did the offseason work? Because, in college basketball now, not how we it's a new team every year, pretty much. It's not guys all together all these years. It's a new team every year. So how about the summertime, getting guys to learn how to play together and play on tough schedules to help them learn how to play together and have adversity so they can get better despite the injuries. And now with the injuries you have depth now that you may not have had come when you got tipped off on November the 4th.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, the it's funny because the thing I told people was, I didn't spend any time leading up to them getting there, June probably 15 or 16, whenever they got to us, and through the 6 weeks that they were with us, I didn't really spend much time, like, thinking about X's and O's with them. It was more about, how do we get the group to come together? And you blend. We had kind of half old guys and half new guys. I shouldn't say old guy. Well, they are old guys in college basketball now, but returning guys and incoming guys and blending them together. That was my main focus. One of the things we did, the old remember the Titans. I said, all right, you got to go. I would pair them up weekly and say, okay, Barry, you're with Earl, and what they had to do is give me two things that, two interesting facts about the other person. So Barry's got to give me two things about Earl. Earl's got to give me two things about Barry in front of the whole group. And then one thing that you have in common, and which I think was really important, because you have these guys coming from all different places, all different backgrounds, but we all have things in common. So you have guys like, they're coming in and like, yeah, we found out neither one of us knows how to swim, or neither one of us has ever been outside the country, or neither one of us is, or we both have. We both played football in high school, like, whatever it was, like, to get them talking, get them understanding, like, look, we're all, and it ha and I told them none of it can have anything to do with basketball. So it has to be something outside of that, because we can all say, like, oh, my favorite player is Kobe, my favorite player is LeBron, I think MJ is the greatest. Like, yeah, we can all do that. We do that every day. Like, that's, it, that's the culture. Like, that's what we're around. Like, you have those debates in the locker room and in training room and on the bus and film and when you're eating and things like that. But I want it to be outside of basketball. Let's learn about each other outside of the basketball. And there was some really interesting stuff that came from that, and I think that was a big deal, because it got them understanding, like, look, yeah, you guys may be competing, and maybe at some point in time you'll be competing for a spot or minutes or whatever, but there's also a camaraderie and a connection there that, and a similarity that maybe can draw back on at some point in time. And so yeah, that time over the summer, I mean, certainly getting them used to like, hey, this is what we do and how we play and the work, you know, that we put in and things like that. But just getting them excited about each other and excited about, you know, what could be for this group.
And Phil, you got something cool going on too, man. You got four guys in double figures, the other guys averaging not decently single digits as well. So about the balance you have, being able to have four guys in double figures and causing defenses conflict and having to figure out who we're gonna take away, who we're gonna kind of stop. You got options beyond those guys as well.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's been a big thing. We talked about it at the start of conference play about production. And, you know, that's what we need. Everybody goes out there needs to produce. And that's different for everybody. You know, one guy might need to score 20. The other guy might need to go get 8 rebounds. The other guy might need to go play great defense. But we needed production, you know, and make sure we were getting production. You know, we go 7 deep, occasionally go to an 8th or 9th. But of the 7 guys that have played regular minutes, they've been super productive. And again, just finding ways to get it done. I mean, back-to-back games, we've had 5 guys in double figures. On Saturday, we had a 6th guy who didn't score double figures but had 11 rebounds, playing only about 17 minutes. So you're getting contributions across the board. And we play a style that is not geared towards, okay, we're just going to get this guy the ball. We're just going to get this guy shots. Really, we want to play kind of read and react off of what defense does. So, you know, one of our guys the other day on our Thursday game did not play particularly well. And the other guys did. So on Saturday, they're trying to take away those guys that played well, and he goes and gets 24, you know, because he's capable of doing that. Just and it wasn't like, well, we're going to try and get Barry going. No, it just happened that's how they guarded. He had mismatches. He was able to go attack. He's building his confidence. He's scoring the ball. Okay, now all of a sudden it opens up, and now the next guy's going, and the next guy's going. So we spent a lot of time with that, like just trying to read the defense, react to the defense. And not necessarily like, okay, we're going to come run thumb up every play and have Raphael come off this screen and get a shot and then get back on defense. And then we'll come down and run thumb up again and try and get him another shot. And like, we're not built that way. We're built to just play off of each other. And they keep talking about making the ball pop. Like that's been their thing. Just make it pop, make it pop, make it pop. And they've been doing that. And our assist numbers have been really good. Our shooting percentage has been really good. And the ease at which we've been able to score the ball has gone way up. So, you know, we got to continue that because, you know, you can fall into those traps sometimes and all of a sudden it can get stagnant and the ball sticks and guys want to just try and do their thing. But, you know, they got a good flow right now and, you know, trying to keep that going.
Yeah, that's something that Quinn Cyrus talks about a bunch of that right before the catch, that 0.5 mentality. He talks about it every day. I hear it every day, man. So it's driven my head about that, man. You know, like you said, man, the defense will tell you what to do. They'll tell
exactly
you.
Right.
That's all you gotta mm-hmm. do.
That's who we are. Like we don't run a lot of plays. We don't run you know, we have some, but we're very from the summertime. If you walked in our gym on a given day, I guarantee the couple things you would see would be us doing cutting reads off of our drives, you know, guys reading cuts. You'd see us doing driving kick reads. Okay, you drive it. There's help coming somewhere. Sometimes there's no help. Go finish it, you know. But we would do those things every day. And then just like, you know, some type of screening reads, whether it's off of pin downs or off of ball screens or off of whatever, you know, just trying to get them like just like you said, this look, defense can only take away so many things. So 100%. Once they take away one thing, that's great. Let's have a counter to that right away. And you know, it's why we've been successful because those guys have picked up on those reads and then they're implementing them.
You said a word that having counters to it. That's the having the counters off of whatever they're gonna do. You know, that's the main thing right there. Because I know Quinn Snyder is big on having three or four or five things to counteract whatever they may do if we get going early. You know, that's something he's big on.
No doubt.
Yeah, and you know, y'all doing well, man. From 3-point range, over 35%. Talk about how that spacing and that threat makes defenses have to kind of close out with care towards your guys. They might get blown by too, so we kind of put them in that kind of still that came to that conflict of what they're going to do when you get an open 3 guy with all that space you got out there shooting the ball that well.
Yeah, my biggest fear going into the season was I didn't think we had enough shooting. I was worried about us not making enough shots, and you know, it starts with Rafael Pinzone. He's the leading 3-point shooter in the country. And a credit to him. I mean, he's put in a lot of work. He was not that. He transferred to us from St. John's. When he got to us, you know, almost 2 years ago now, you know, was a limited shooter, was a good mid-range shooter, but not really a 3-point shooter. Even leading up to last season, was not shooting it great in practice in our scrimmages. And then from that time on has been just, you know, meticulous about his work, getting in extra shots, doing what he needs to do. And it's worked. You know, he's hovering around 50%, you know, really all year, and missed some time. He's one of those guys that was injured, you know, for a while. So you figure, like, all right, guy coming back, probably won't go to shoot it, you know, shoot it as well. And, you know, he's 4 for 8 the other night. And, you know, it's a credit to him and the work he's putting in. Connor Withers, who, you know, I always said, like, he can really, really shoot. Now he's a guy that catches it to make the right play. And I had to talk a lot about, like, I want you to catch the shoot. Like, sometimes he's catching to find somebody else, and he's an incredible passer, and super high IQ, but I'm like, you got to catch the shoot the ball too. You know, like, you're too gifted a shooter not to catch the shoot. So, you know, there's a balance there for him, but, you know, he's been shooting it really well. He's had some huge games, made 5 of them the other day, you know, in the game, was 5 for 11. And then Barry Evans, who transferred to us from St. Bonaventure, came in, was not a 3-point shooter at all, really never even ventured out there. And we started in the summer with him of, like, building that confidence. He's got a good looking stroke, just getting the reps. And, you know, those three guys are the main guys that kind of get it going. But, you know, we have some other unique guys that have been able to, you know, step up and make shots when they need to. Keyshawn Mitchell's our quote unquote center. You know, he steps out and he's able to shoot the ball. Kayvon Kramer, who's our backup center, they really split the spot. They're really both starters, honestly. You know, he's stepped up and made some shots. Ja'Kai Robinson has been able to step up and make some shots. Earl Timberlake, who's our do-everything guy, you know, has never been known for his shot. He went and made 4 in a conference game, you know, a week or two ago. So, you know, it's just the reps. It's just putting in the reps and building the confidence. And, you know, I don't want them hesitating. I don't want them looking over their shoulder. I'm like, if you're open, shoot the ball. And watch, if you miss it, like we talk about chasing the offensive glass, and if you miss it, worst case scenario, hey, we can get the offensive rebound back and get something good there. So, you know, we try to build a lot of confidence, but it comes with the work and the reps and the extra shots that they get up every day.
No doubt, man. I know some of you talked about that when we got hired, man. It's player development and being player driven and player focused. Talk about how crucial it is to help get guys better so they can play ball overseas after their career at Bryant. So how you expanding their games and add to their games like you did with these young men you just mentioned. Talk about how important it is for a young man to know that they come to play for you. You're going to help develop their game in more ways than one.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you know, it can't be a one-way street. I can't say, hey, come here and help us win games and that's it. Like, no, we got to invest in them. And you know, they all have a dream. They all have a desire to play beyond college. And, you know, obviously it's really hard. They're not all going to get that chance, but we've got to do everything in our power to maximize that. And it's the promise we make in recruiting. You know, we tell them, like, you come here, you're going to get better. And, you know, there's guys that might be mad about their role, that might be disappointed about not playing enough minutes or whatever. But I don't think there's anybody can come to our program and say, man, I didn't get better playing for those guys. And you know, our player development's headed by Chris Cole, my associate head coach, who's as good as anybody in the country. I mean, he's just a superstar when it comes to player development. But we got a staff full of guys that just love being in that gym. You know, Brendan Phelps, who's back with us from last year, Ryan Daly and Nick Schmidt, who are new guys, you know, with us, both were really good college players, Ryan at Delaware and St. Joe's. And then, Nick was a Division III player, you know, really, really good Division III player. So, and those guys, they just love being down there in the gym. Like, it's nonstop with them. So, you know, there's no excuse for a guy that says, like, well, I couldn't get shots, I couldn't do this. And no, like, there's somebody that's always available and always willing. And those guys do a really good job, like, film and breaking things down. Like, they are really, really, really good at what they do. And I'm super thankful for them.
Well, Phil, man, thank you for joining the show. As always, my brother. I hope we're talking again in March after you win the American East playoffs, man. I'm hoping it happens. We can talk again in March.
Your lips to God's ears. I'm all for it. Let's make it happen.
Yes, sir. Man. Good talk as always, my brother. It's always fun, man.
Yeah, great talking to you.
All right.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.